Hi, y'all. Nicole here. This podcast is intended to inspire you on your personal spiritual journey to inner peace. I am not a psychologist or a medical doctor and do not offer any professional health or medical advice. This applies to the podcast guests and or co-hosts. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek help from a qualified health professional. You are listening to A Psychic Story Kids Edition, a podcast that helps kids and teens shift their vibration, develop their intuition, and become more empowered. If you want to feel a deeper connection to the divine, better understand your purpose, and use your intuition to drive your life, then being here listening now is no coincidence. Welcome to A Psychic Story Kids Edition.
Welcome to A Psychic Story Kids Edition. Angels have been recognized by many cultures since the dawn of civilization. Communication between humans and the divine, including angels, exists in almost every religion around the world. Angels have appeared as heralds of profound events, they've acted as protectors or guardians for humans, and they're found described in ancient manuscripts and artwork, as well as current movies, books, and songs. Now, Nicole, obviously your listeners are accustomed to you introing the show, but today we're going to mix things up a bit, and I'm going to interview you. Let's get started. For those of you who are just getting to know Nicole, allow me to introduce her. Nicole is a Reiki master and psychic intuitive who has been talking to angels her entire life, and she is on a mission to help others not feel alone on their spiritual journeys. She is the host of two podcasts, A Psychic Story and Supernatural Matters. A Psychic Story has topped the podcast charts over the last 2 years with millions of downloads worldwide. Her unique approach to interviewing allows for free-flowing conversations with inspiring guests who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary as they dispel the many myths and misconceptions that are out there on all things paranormal and spiritual. It is her hope that by hearing their stories, you, the listener, will feel a little less alone, be inspired to embrace your own spiritual journey and purpose, and share your unique gifts with the world. Welcome, Nicole.
Thanks for having me on my own show.
Your own show. Well, look, when we were talking about topics for psychic and intuitive kids for this show, we both know that we had to include a conversation about spirit teams and angels. They've been a part of both of our journeys. But I'd like for you to share with the listeners your personal story of how you started interacting with them and also what propelled you to go into the business of the supernatural.
Great question to start us off. I'd say that, so I was thinking about this in preparation for weeks, right? Because you put the questions together and I was like, oh, when you're in the hot seat, it's very different. So when I was younger, I want to say I was around like 3 or 4. I remember a lot of children talking about their imaginary friends. And it was interesting to me because I actually didn't see them like with my physical eyes, but I could sense them around and they were all very different for other children. Like I remember this one friend had a little boy around her and what, looking back now, I think he was a child who had passed away at an early age and just happened to be a ghost and her imaginary friend, and she would play with him and everything else. And so I could sense that and I could see that in my mind's eye. And there were all different kinds of, I guess, people and or energies, whether they were adults or children. And I thought to myself, wow, that's really interesting. Like, I don't have anybody around me, or at least I felt like I didn't necessarily. And then I started to feel this really big presence energetically coming into my space. And it felt very familiar to me. It felt familiar to the sense of where I was like, wow, like when I say that, I mean God source, God connection, universal energy. And because I guess I had just come over and it was only a few years here on this earth, it was easy for me to connect. And so in my mind, I kept just asking, okay, who are you? What do you want? I mean, granted, as a child, maybe not such profound questions. And I got the name Michael. And it wasn't until I started to get a little bit older that I learned Archangel Michael and all of that. But he just had this very protective energy. And I would have conversations with him all day long about, like, he would be teaching me both on the spiritual side of things and also on the physical presence side of things. So it was just interesting to see that and experience that. So anyway, so that's kind of as a child, kind of my first introduction in the sense that I wanted an imaginary friend. I didn't have them the way a lot of my friends had them, as either ghost children and spirits or even loved ones from the other side. And I heard this, "You're not alone. I'm here." And when I tapped into the energy, it was just big and bold and bright. I do remember him saying to me, "Do you want me to still be by your side? Do you want to interact with me?" And that was the first moment I was introduced to free will and choice, that I had a choice and I had to give him permission to step in.
Wow. And so you said that Michael would teach you. What sort of things did he teach you?
Well, it would be kind of like, because I was thinking about this too, actual things like when I would be going to bed at night, and it would be almost kind of like prayer based. I remember a lot of times if I was having trouble going to sleep, I would actually hear angel music. I would hear things like that, just kind of lulling me to sleep. He would say things like, you know, when you go to sleep, you know, ask me to protect you, ask me to, he was like teaching me prayers and intentions, which again, now growing up and doing these for people and listeners, I'm like, wow, that's just so amazing that as a child, he kind of walked me through that. But then also it would be interactions with people and adults. Like if I started to kind of feel sad, there's this one teacher in particular, I remember she was just always sad. She always had a smile on her face and she appeared happy, but underneath she appeared very just sad and energetic. I could pick up on that. And he would tell me, like, not in a confidential standpoint. It's not like I was like tapping into her energy, but he'd be like, she's just going through some things. Here's how you can shield your energy. Then also send her love and light so it's not draining you. So almost like just every day, like walking through things, kind of teaching me from that. I didn't realize that other people didn't necessarily have that guidance so like in your face, right? So those are the kinds of things that he would teach me. And it literally was just kind of like talking to a regular person on a day-to-day basis, how he would jump in and like help me.
And so from there, as a child, walk us through kind of how you got to where you are now.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So for my full-time job, I was on a trip the other day in Chicago, of all places, and I was in a car heading to the airport. And I remember just talking to the gentleman who's driving the car, and I realized I kept saying they and he and all this and having just the general conversations that I normally would. And then I realized I stepped outside of that situation and I'm like, he probably thinks like I'm like losing my mind. I'm talking to like they, like those voices and stuff. Because like in my normal day, everyday routine, when I wake up in the morning and when I go throughout my day and to when I go to bed, I talk to them very regularly, God, angels, what have you. And that was something that I did when I was younger. So getting back to your question about what does that look like? So I did that when I was younger. When I got to a certain age, I want to say like closer to high school, right? I realized that not everyone necessarily was doing that. And I had to kind of internalize it and not verbalize it as much. But I've pivoted, right? Whereas as a child, I did it. And now as an adult in my life, I'm doing it that way. But I hid it a lot. How did that kind of evolve? I guess because it was just kind of a natural evolution of, you know, my everyday communication, that aspect again didn't change unless it was in the middle part where I was hiding it. As far as like where and why I'm so much out of the psychic closet, I mean, you guys know this. If you listen to the podcast, it's because a few years ago when I was having a lot of depression and anxiety and I really tapped in and was asking Michael and asking God and the universe, okay, what is it that I need to be doing? What am I missing? And it was like, you have to step out of this, and, you know, and really fully embrace it back to when you were as a child and talking about it and having it be so much more integrated into your daily life. So that's the pivot. I would also say that, gosh, because I'm also trying to think of like the listeners who haven't had that experience to that extent, is what does it look like for you? I think it's just making and recognizing that everything from the small to the big, those little messages, that those little indications that universe source is trying to get your attention, that it really is something bigger than us. And it's something bigger because they're there to help us reconnect to God.
So in connecting as a healer and a psychic, how do you interact with the angels on a daily basis, like you said, when you did as a child? How do you do that? How do you communicate with them? And also, how do you work with them with your client?
Yeah. So I would say that in the beginning, when you wake up in the morning, I try and do this. I'm not a morning person. So I have to kind of, just take a breath before I get out of bed. And I say an intention, which is, you know, in gratitude to say, this is another day. I'm stepping into my day. I ask my guides and angels and or God. And there's a beautiful saying through A Course in Miracles, which is, where would you have me go? What would you have me say? What would you have me do? And with whom, right? And so essentially what that does is that's allowing you to just be in flow with the universe. It is allowing you to just be open to all the possibilities. It's giving you that free will and choice, but again, almost letting you be guided and connected and all of that. So if you don't want to say that full thing, even just waking up in gratitude and being open to universe and source and having that connection there. So that's the first thing. I like to bookend my days, right? So prayer or intention in the beginning, and then throughout the day, we'll get to that in a second. But then in the evening, same thing. When I'm going to sleep, it's more, again, in gratitude. I used to really love going through my mind to say, okay, what are the things that happen that I'm in gratitude for? Sometimes I actually would just bless people. I would go through a list, and I couldn't even necessarily get through the full list because I would fall asleep. But I would also bless and thank my guides, my angels, God, Mother Earth, be in that, so that energy exchange. That's the best way to kind of bookend your day. But then if you really want to connect with them specifically after you kind of do the morning and the evening kind of prayers, I always say this intention, and especially for clients in a session, which is I'm calling in my guides and angels of 100% divine love, light, and sound. If you want to add, you can say never reprogrammed by the dark. There's a whole thing on that. And then after you say that, it's like it's really what you want to connect with them on. So for client sessions, I say, I'd like to receive messages that are for this person's best and highest good that come in clearly and succinctly now. If it's for yourself, you can say, I'd like to receive messages and information that are for my best and highest good, clearly and succinctly now. That's the energy flow. That's how you get messages in. That's how you can connect with them. And then it's just being open, right? So it's being open through what you're receiving. It could be repeating numbers. It could be specifically asking for a sign, like, I want to see a cardinal bird for this. I would like to see this for this. Yes or no. There's a whole episode on a psychic story called Signs that you can listen to that goes into that in more detail. But you just are open to receiving, and or you ask for a specific message. And then you, once that happens, you say you're in gratitude for it. Like, thank you for showing me. I would like to see more of that. So that's kind of how, for both myself and others, if you want to kind of, if you're just dipping your toe in it a little bit and not fully jumping in the deep end, you can start to feel more connected and communicate with your guides and angels.
And okay, so, you know, you talked about interacting with Michael kind of on the daily, and obviously with your guides and angels, bookending and working with them with your clients. Do you have any personal stories or client stories that you can share where you have interacted and have seen the angels act on your behalf?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously a lot. It's kind of hard in some ways to say, it's like breathing. So during the day or every day, I have so many just different experiences. It's literally like conversations where they'll drop in and say, no, do this. I'm like, okay, just more FYI, that's what's happening in the background. But also when they show up in a big way for me, it's usually always about protection. And I mean protection against other human beings and also other spirits or energies on the other side. And I'm not saying this to make the listeners and adults in this case scared, but there is obviously another side to it. If there's light, there's dark. If there's dark, there's light. It cannot exist without one another. So I've told the story on the show before. I'm not going to get into a ton of details because you can go back and listen to the other episodes. But essentially, I was at a park with my sister. She was really young at the time, and she was playing on a play swing, and I felt this energy. It felt very predatory energy around me. And I was like looking up, and I didn't see anything. It was a bright, beautiful day. And the next thing I heard this voice, it was booming, and it said, get out now. And it was like all around me at once. And I looked, and I don't know necessarily looking back if it was my higher self, if it was my angels, if it was all of it in between. It was definitely God. And then I saw this car coming up, and there were two people within it, and there was going to be an abduction. And as a result of that, also my mother getting messages, she was in the house and coming out at the right time. All of that synchronicities and that energy that was protected around us protected my sister and protected me and also the friend that I was with. And so in that instance, it was definitely a higher power. It was definitely my angels and just providing us that love and that protection in that moment. There's also been several times over, especially being a light worker and a healer and a psychic, that I've had energies pop in, whether they were for myself or for other clients, and they have no place in being in my personal space or in my client's personal space and around them, that I've called in Michael. I work a lot with Jesus Christ as well. And Jesus Christ definitely provides a lot of love and protective energy and support. And in those instances, it literally was, in some cases, I felt Michael step in before anything has actually happened. And then also when I'm in that situation, I call him in, he's already there, but like it's giving them permission to remove it. So that's some instances. And then I would say that there was another time I never really heard the angel music again from when I was a child until I was an adult. And this was when I was just going through a really dark time and I was struggling with a lot of sadness, a lot of questions about why am I here? You know, those profound things. I would say when I'm looking back at my age, it was like right after I got out of college. I think a lot of people struggle with, you know, when you get out, what is your purpose? What's your meaning in life? You go to college, you get your degree, and then all of a sudden, like, here you are, like, just go out and conquer the world. And there's just not necessarily a lot of support there. So I was just laying in bed and I was crying and I was just saying all these prayers and saying, please God, like, give me a sign. Give me, what is it that I'm supposed to do? And I just felt like this pat on my head and I felt like this just loving presence and my room filled up with just this, I didn't see it visually, but I could see it in my mind, just this light. And then I felt the angel music again or the music from heaven. And I knew everything was going to be okay. And those were like all my angels, right? It wasn't just Michael at that time. And I went to sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, I was like, there was just this profound peace around me. So I hope people don't have any of those experiences, right? I hope that that's not the case for them to come in a profound way. But those are just some examples of what's happened for me separately of me talking to them on a daily basis.
I love that. I've had similar experiences where they come in to protect and or to stop something from happening that could not go in a great way. So that's really cool. I love that. And one of these days we'll have to talk about angel music too, because I've heard it and it's incredible.
I wish I was actually a musician and understood lyrics and stuff and all that, because then I probably would have paid more attention and written it down, because it's just so beautiful. I've never heard anything like it, but that's another day, because I definitely am not a musician, but however you are. So there you go.
Oh my goodness. Well, what kinds, so we talked about Archangel Michael, you mentioned Jesus Christ. What other kinds of beings, spirit guides, angels have you connected with?
Yeah, so I've explained this before and I'd love to hear how you work, C, but when I'm working with a client, I see like a U around them. It can be above their head from, you know, one shoulder to the other or around them. And how I see like our guides and angels and like loved ones is literally from, you know, over the left shoulder or archangels, ascended masters. Then it's what I would call guardian angels. Then there's guides, right? Which can be spirit animals. It can be other types of spiritual guides. And then over by the right shoulder, it's typically loved ones. And that's kind of how I see it. I see it as our spirit team. Our spirit team can be comprised of many, many different beings. Usually loved ones on the other side are here for reassurance. They're less guiding us and they're more just like overseeing and helping us in the sense of feeling loved and feeling protected and that sort of thing. But I say all that because, you know, when people come to me often, they're like, well, who are my spirit team? We can have 20, 30, 40, right? And at the end of the day, when I got my Reiki certification, I could feel and see that energy even more so, because like Michael was always the one standing by, almost like my, what I call my bodyguard, my protector, but I could sense these beings around. Then he was explaining and I could physically see them. And then with my mind's eye, I see them. Raphael, Archangel Raphael was a big one for me, because if you think about energy healing and all of that, so Raphael was coming forward. And so when I work with them a lot more or with sessions and clients, it's Michael and Raphael. Gabriel, Archangel Gabriel is another one, because I'm also in PR and marketing in my full-time job. So for communications, writing, speaking, also if you are a medium or you want to connect more with your guides and angels or even loved ones from the other side, Gabriel helps be that bridge, helps almost be that, I won't say mediator, but that bridge between communicating with the other side. So those are usually the primary ones that I work with. And then I don't know why, but I love, love, love Ganesh. Ganesh tends to come in a loving way, but a protective way too. So usually Jesus, Ganesh, and Michael tend to tag team together in protection. Who do you work with primarily?
I didn't know that about you and Ganesh. Ganesh is one of my spirit guides too, and I absolutely adore him. But yeah, it's funny because you were saying how you see the angels and guides. And for me, it became so overwhelming when I would see them when I started working with clients, because it just felt like everybody was crowding my space. So I had Archangel Michael, and he very much is a bodyguard, right? And so I would have him line people up or line beings up. So I would just talk to one person. So yeah, but that's pretty funny. But as far as the angels and guides that I work with, obviously, I also work with Jesus. I work with Mother Mary and then a whole array of angels. There are so many. And so, if you know, we work with angels for specific things, right? Like you said, Raphael is healing, Gabriel is communication. Michael is kind of, I feel like he's the angel of light workers. So he kind of helps with everything, right? but then there's just a ton more.
Yeah, exactly. And I have a ton more too, but those, you know, for sake of time, I'll say those are the big ones. And I am feeling led to share too, really quickly, that what I find is that whatever beings step forward, kind of like what you're saying, the front of the line, right, are the ones that people need to hear the message the most, and or whatever they're going through at that moment in time is why they're at the forefront. So we could take, you know, go through every single one in a reading or a session, but ultimately that's not the purpose. The purpose is to get that message that comes in the most. And as a healer and a practitioner, whether you're listening as a healer and a practitioner, or whether you're an adult and you're like, I want to learn more or whatever, just that, again, those guardian angels, guides, ascended masters, archangels, they step forward because that's exactly what you need at that moment. And so to just be open to that and why they're showing through, because they know best.
Yeah, they absolutely do. They absolutely do. So, you know, when I was a kid, obviously I saw angels too, and it wasn't scary for me, but I know that for some kids and adults, and in stories like when the angels appeared in the Bible, they can appear really scary and frightening. What would you say to kids or adults who might be scared to interact with their angels?
Yeah, I was thinking a lot about this, and it's like, so for me, it was never actually scary because I didn't physically see Michael. I didn't physically see ghosts or people who have passed over, anything else like that. Mine was more energy reading and being able to pick up on that there was something else in the room or someone else in the room, and like, what was that like? And then I would tune in into my mind's eye to try and visually scan and see, which is how Michael connected with me telepathically to say, okay, this is me, whatever. And I was able to kind of move through that. So from an energy perspective, I never felt scared because it was such love, it was such light, and it felt like home that it didn't scare me. However, I know you've had different experiences because you literally could physically see them. I do remember saying to Michael, I don't want to see you. I don't want to see anything else. And I shut that piece of myself down because I figured it would scare me, right? So now as an adult, I do see them to the extent of like, I like to call it like Christmas lights. Like, it's not orbs per se, but like Christmas lights will flash. And so when I'm in a session or talking to someone, I'll see like a big bright light, and it like goes in and out. And then based on the color, I know who it is. So for Michael, it's like a really deep blue. For Raphael, it's like a violet purple. You know, I could go on and on and on. And so then that's how I see them, because they know that I'm comfortable with that. But you've seen them in a big way. So tell me how you've seen them.
Yeah. So my first interaction with an angel was when I was a kid, and I woke up in the middle of the night and saw this light, like just like this person, but it looked like just the outline of a person, but it was completely blinding white light. But it was huge. It was probably 7 or 8 or 9 feet tall. I don't know, as a kid. So of course everything was huge then too. But even more recently as an adult, now because I do see with my physical eyes as well as by my mind's eye, my third eye, these angels come in. And it's funny because I once had an interaction with Azrael, Archangel Azrael, who has been with me my whole life. But I realized, I was like, you know, I should probably ask you your name. And he told me, and of course I Googled it because I wanted to know who he was. And he helps souls cross over. So he's kind of seen as the angel of death, so to speak. Well, immediately I was like, oh no, is my time up? And he laughed. He said, no, you're a medium. You're here to help people cross over and communicate with their loved ones. And so, but he appears very big, very silent and foreboding, although he's one of my go-tos. He's one of my favorites. But yeah, but they appear really, really big. And the first couple of times I saw Archangel Michael, it startled me and it really took me back. And had I not known who he was and felt comfortable with him, I probably would have been a little scared.
I think that's why when you look back over history, angels have appeared more as people and they have appeared with wings and all of that, because, you know, especially as children, it just seems to be like less scary. It seems to be less jolting and jarring. But yes, you're absolutely right. Their energy is so big, it doesn't even fit into a house. That's the thing. It's like, you know, when Michael, one time I said, okay, well, show me how big you actually are. I mean, it was like giant. He was just like this huge giant. So they tend to make themselves smaller for us. So I would say 7, 8, 9 feet is actually not that big for an archangel for sure. But yeah, but going back to your question, as far as like for adults or kids, like to not be scared, I think again, going back to free will and choice, it's that we, especially them, like they're obviously showing themselves to us for a reason. And I would say it's either for protection or guidance and or messages, but also just to give us the option to let us know that we can see them, we can interact with them. And how cool and how miraculous is that? But the first time you're going to be like, oh my goodness, what's going on here? So just knowing first, and I think acknowledging that that's what they are, that they're of God, that they're here to guide and protect us and love us is the first thing. You then should, once you realize it, then tune into the energy and be like, okay, this doesn't feel scary. This does feel of love to me. This does feel whatever. And by the way, again, going back to free will and choice, if you don't want to interact with them, then you can say, hey, can you take it down a notch? Or can you like come back another day? Or give me a moment to process. Whether you're a child, again, or an adult, that's something that they absolutely offer us. I would say then too, if you're not sure and it does feel scary, like even after you've done that and you're recognizing, oh my gosh, I'm looking at an angel, like this is amazing, this is cool, then it probably isn't an angel. If you're then still feeling scared or you're feeling whatever, and then that's when you would actually ask God to say, God, I need you to step in, and you know, XYZ, you do not have permission to be in my space. I'm sending you off. And for parents listening who have children and may see these sort of things, I'm just getting like, oftentimes it's probably going to be people who have passed over and they just know that this child or this, you know, person can communicate with them. And so they're gravitating to you. And as a result, you can say, hey, like, you know, you're scaring, you know, my kid or your whatever, or the child can say it, you know, I need you to move on and not be in my presence. And then they have to go because, again, it's free will, it's free choice, and they're not allowed to be in our space.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, talking about the angels, and we kind of touched a little bit on it, but maybe let's kind of go a little more deeper into it as far as the difference between, say, an archangel and a guardian versus like a spirit or a guide.
Yeah, yeah. I think the reason when we talked that we wanted this to primarily be on angels or focused on angels is because to me, especially if you are a young child or you're all the way up through teen and adolescent, to me, angels are like the, I don't want to say easiest, but like they are angelic. They're part of God. They're part of us. And therefore, to me, it's like a little bit, not easier just to connect, but to not have it be quite as scary, right? But great question as far as like going through it. We did talk about spirit team. So archangels are essentially one step down from God in the sense that they are just such pure universal love and light. And however, they've never incarnated. They've never, for whatever reason, they choose that they don't want to be human. They don't want to experience this kind of life on Earth or any other planet. And so they just stay at that vibratory state, that frequency. And that's why they're called messengers. They are called messengers because they are enabling us to help just stay connected to God's source and universal energy. And so they are that level, I should say. And then you have, and I'll get into guardian angels here in a second, but then you have what I call ascended masters. And ascended masters are like Jesus Christ, Gandhi, Mother Teresa, Mother Mary, people who have lived in this on this planet and or other planets or dimensions. And at some point they've ascended to the point where then their role and part of their purpose and their soul journey is to help us. And what's amazing about that is like, I think about it as feet on the ground. Like we are the humans here on Earth having these emotional and spiritual experiences, and we can only do so much here. The archangels and the ascended masters are here to help us. They can only do so much on the other side. So together, that's why we make up a team, right? That comprises that. Now, the other thing is we have our loved ones. As I mentioned earlier, they are here primarily for reassurance. Very rarely are they quote unquote our guardian angels or guides. They don't necessarily have like the higher level or higher purpose and tuned in so much to help guide us. However, some of them make it their mission to still be by our side and to still make sure that they are here. And in some cases, they do step in that role. So that's like kind of the core element. But then going into guardian angels. Now, guardian angels are in, from what Michael has told me, so obviously I believe it if he's told me this, and he taught me this when I was younger, is that guardian angels, we've contracted. So when we're on the other side, before we come in and we're born here, we've said, hey, guardian angel, you've been with me in prior lifetimes and past lifetimes, and you've been on my team. I give you permission to interact and to be with me in this lifetime to guide me and give me insight. And so they tend to be, they are angels. They usually in most cases have been on Earth and they've had, but again, of course they've ascended and we've given them permission to interact with us. So we still have free will and choice, but at the end of the day, they tend to be, they're probably the one, for example, when I was in the park, they were like, they gave me that insight, that direction. They were able to, in, quote unquote, interfere to help protect and guide me, and that miracle have you. When we say guides, I use guides, and I'd love to hear your perspective, see, like a guide to me almost could be any of that, right? But then we also have animal and spirit guides. And to me, animal and spirit guides are like, it's just another way of universe connecting with us, because it's there. She's using, well, earth and the universe are using different animals, different elements that are physical elements to be able to give us that insight. However, there's also an energetic component, which means that if an animal or a spirit guide like that is showing up for us, that means we tend to, yes, there might be a message, but it's also like, you need more wisdom in your life, or you need more power and empowerment. You need more confidence. So it's almost like a gift from universe stepping in to say, here's this. And, or if it's a guide that's constantly by your side in terms of an animal guide and spirit guide, then that's something that just, you need it throughout a longer period of time in your life and as you're going through that. So, but would love to hear from you on your perspective.
As far as spirit guides, I feel like they're like friends or people that we come into contact. They're either here for a reason, a season, or a lifetime. And they interact with us on that basis and within that parameter. So, you know, I, again, guardian angels and guides, they come in for different messages. I feel like my guides are more like my signposts. And my guardian angels or angels spirit team are basically my therapists, right? They're the ones telling me what to do, getting me through a hard time, protecting me, you know, fulfilling those various roles. But I feel like a lot of my spirit guides, so to speak, like animal guides, you know, people who have lived in the past who come back to help teach that kind of thing, they're here as more signposts to kind of point me in a direction. Of course, I feel like maybe that's everything, but the angels definitely step in, you know, in situations where we may be putting ourselves or others at risk. I remember one time I was driving down a road late at night. I didn't know where I was. I was lost. My phone had died, so I didn't have GPS. And suddenly my accelerator just stopped accelerating. My car just stopped accelerating. And I'm pressing the accelerator, I'm pressing the brake. Nothing is happening. And I'm going 50 miles an hour down a country road. And I was terrified. And literally my exit just showed up on the right. And I would have completely driven by it had I been accelerating, had I been driving. But because my car had stopped going, I was able to pull up, and then it worked perfectly fine. I went and got it checked out, nothing. So I feel like that was my guardian angel intervening and saying, no, you got to take this exit. And, you know, I made it home safely then. Yeah. So I think just depending on what we need in a particular given moment is who shows up.
Yeah. And Michael showed me this before this interview, which I was like, why haven't you told me this before? So I'm going to share this story with everyone because this is special for this episode, is that, you know, you guys have heard me say before, like time is not linear. It doesn't exist, right? But it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it because it's like, but it does, because I'm only in the present moment right now physically. So not really sure how that works. But what he was showing me was that, so we, because we have free will and choice, we've been going through, we make all these decisions. It's almost like choose your own adventure, like every day, right? Like you could kind of sort of go in a different direction, quite frankly, if you wanted to. And that's what the beauty is of life and why we are here. But at the end of the day, on the other side, our guides, angels, God, there is no time. So it's almost like they, because they see every single choice we make and they see where we are, it's like rewinding, fast forwarding all at the same time. And so that's how they show up and how they can be when people are like, well, how can they be in more than one place, you know, once, or be with, you know, Steve and then also be with Nicole, you and all of that. It's because they're omnipotent, but then also there's no time. So if you think about it that way, it's so amazing because they're like literally kind of watching us on a TV screen in a way. And they're like, all right, this is where we need to go because this person made this choice, this decision. They need us more in these moments, that sort of thing. So they're literally able to almost like a symphony or a choir conduct it, but yet at the same time, not conduct in our direction. It's like they're being a part of it. They're being our team. And I thought that was a really beautiful way of kind of like thinking about it because, you know, again, you know, sometimes it's hard to understand, well, what do you mean when time doesn't exist? It's because it doesn't on their end, especially. It's just kind of running in the background of everything else that we call life.
I love that example. And that's so true. I've had clients who've told me before, you know, I don't want to talk to my angels or guides. I don't want to take up their time. And I give them that same explanation. Time is not chronological or linear on their side. It just, It is. It's you and them. So take up their time.
They get so excited. I've had it in sessions where like somebody's asked and I literally there, I saw this one lady's guides and angels. They were holding a like, it was like a conga line, like, you know, their arms like were linked and they were doing like the Rockette thing. And then they started doing like this jig. And I was like, I felt silly telling her this, but when I told her that, and then she was like, she did dance and I was like, well, that totally makes sense. Cause they were like jumping up and down. They get so joyful and happy when we ask them for help. And also to when we delegate to them and when we interact with them, they're like, finally. Otherwise they're just like kind of sitting on the sidelines, twiddling their thumbs like, okay, hello, we're here, you know, so.
Right. You know, speaking to that, as far as just them getting excited, I was driving one day and I get lost without my GPS.
Oh my gosh.
I have no sense of direction.
We need to work on this separately.
I know.
After this.
Right. But anyway, I'm driving and I'm asking the angels for directions and they give me directions turn by turn by turn. And I get to my destination and I was like, wow, that was really cool. Thanks, you guys. And then, you know, on a side note, is there any way you guys could let my spirit animal, one of my favorite animals is the deer. And I said, is there any possibility I could see that today? And they were like, really? It's not enough that we got you to where you need to go. I was like, no, you're right. You're right. You got me here. Thank you. I'm grateful. 2 seconds later, a deer walked right in front of me and they were like, We love you. But they do. They really love when we call on them. They really love when we ask them to interact with us. So going along those lines, you know, how can kids or adults, if they're not seeing angels, they're not sensing them, how can they go about connecting with their angels and or their guides?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to when we talked earlier in the episode, which is just stating that intention. Intention is, to me, the purest form of connecting with the divine, right? Because again, it goes back to free will and choice. We're giving permission, but we are also setting that intention that that's what we want to experience. So to say, you know, calling in my guides and angels of 100% divine love, light, and sound, I would like to receive messages from you or connect with you that are for my best and highest good. You can add in things like clearly and succinctly. There's no right or wrong way of doing it, quite frankly. It's whatever you feel most comfortable to do. I like to state it out loud and I like to use that just because it served me really well and it's helped me. And, you know, it's just something that I do, but that's one way. And then going back to as well what we had said, which is when you do get that sign, like you saw the deer, for example, it's just saying, thank you, you know, and being in gratitude. I would like to see more of that. And I always also add on seeing how you feel like you knew because you've worked with them so closely. So you're like, okay, that is a sign from you. And I'm receiving that. But if you're still not sure or you're whatever, even being in gratitude and saying, I'd like to see more of that. And, you know, that again, asking, so you're amplifying it. And then finally, it's almost like if you're not sure what the message is, right? Because you, like, let's say you see a deer, but you feel like there might be some profound message and people are like, well, I don't know what it means. I get a lot of that. It's like, take a moment and say, okay, what am I feeling? What am I thinking at that moment? And I guarantee you that if you do that more than once when that happens, then it's going to be a repetitive thought or a feeling. And you're like, ah, that's what it means. Because, you know, for me, I didn't see deer until I recently moved to Cincinnati, and I still split my time between Atlanta and Cincinnati. And I'm in the city in Cincinnati, like in a little neighborhood, but there are so many deer prevalent. It's just wild. And I was like, you know, but they only show up when, like this morning, see, I'll send you a photo. I took it. There were deer, but there are three of them, three females, and they came right up to the side of the house, and it wasn't on the side that they normally are. And it was right before we were recording this episode. So I was like, ah, they show up because I'm recording and I have guests on or whatever, and it's an important, and I didn't know. I was like, so obviously that was for you. But I saw it and I was like, well, thank you. And it was, they came up to the fence and were looking at me like, hello, we have a message for you. And I was like, what's the message? And they were like, take my photo. It's for somebody and it's for you. So it's things like that where I, you know, again, even every day it blows my mind. And I've been doing this since I was, you know, just a wee little one. So it's things like that. So when you say how to connect, that's going to be the best way. And for adults who want to maybe work with their own children, about this is just, you know, it's to ask them if they're having experiences. I think we talked about this on an earlier episode, right? Is not necessarily planting seeds in their mind, but just saying, you know, how does that make you feel? What did you experience? Like having it be open-ended questions, and or they're going to be able to tell you. You could also do this as a family. You could, you know, do it together. And we'd love to hear from you where you say, all right, let's call on our guides and angels. You know, maybe it's before bedtime or in the morning, like again, how I walked you through that. And then as a family, sharing it over breakfast or sharing it at dinner time. Like, what did you experience during the day? What kind of signs, symbols, messages did you receive? How are you feeling? That sort of thing. I think it could be a really good, great way to bond as a family.
I think that's fantastic. And I agree 100%. So is there anything else that you'd like to share as far as stories, your interactions with angels, or, you know, when you were a kid or as an adult or with your clients?
I would just say that for a lot of people, sometimes or lately, people have been asking me, okay, well, I'm not connecting. I'm asking to connect with them and to get these messages, and I'm just not. And the way that Michael and in particular Raphael have been talking to me about it is oftentimes it's going back to the very beginning of the episode when I said, I didn't see them, but I felt them. It's like we tend to, as human beings being in this physical dimension, we think the message or the example or the experience is going to be physical. And in some cases, it is. A lot of cases, it is. But in most cases, it's actually that they're sitting right by us and we just need to connect with them in that way. So I'd invite you, if you're listening and you're not driving, if you're driving, do this at home after you get settled, but just to close your eyes. And as you're closing your eyes, just taking some deep breaths. And just as you're taking those deep breaths, like in and out, clear your mind, meaning that you put any, I like to imagine a chalkboard in my mind. So anytime a thought, a random thought comes in, I just put that thought on the chalkboard and I erase it. And then another thought pops up and I erase it. And I just do that a few times, right? And as you're breathing in and out, you ask your guides and angels to step forward. And I like to ask for a particular one. So obviously, if we're talking about Michael, we can ask Michael to come in. I mean, just invite Michael to come in and wrap his wings around us and step into our energy field and step into our energy being. And as you're breathing in, you know, how do you feel? Are you feeling peaceful? Are you feeling protected? What are you feeling as you're breathing in and out? And you can do this a lot longer. I'm not going to take up all the time, but use that exercise. However you're feeling, whatever you see in your mind's eye, whatever, and when I say feeling, I mean emotionally, energetically, physically, right? Everyone's going to feel it a little bit different, but that's how they interact with us, is primarily through energy and connection that way, not necessarily just because a deer pops up in our sight, you know, our line of sight, although it can. That's how they interact with us. Now I'm just going to ask Michael to kind of step back as we're breathing in and out. And you can kind of feel him start to pull back. You can do that with every single angel if you want. You can ask your guardian angels to step in, but that's a way of connecting with them and feeling their energy as a whole, because they're energetic beings just like we are.
Awesome. Very cool. One thing just to add to that is if people are trying to like see, maybe like you see colors, right? Or I see full-fledged. One of the ways they could do that is by practicing using the screen of their imagination, right? Or their third eye. And I tell people to imagine a pink elephant with purple polka dots. And if they can see that in their mind's eye, then while they're meditating, doing what you just recommended, they can try to focus into that same area in their mind where they see that pink elephant with purple polka dots, right? And try to focus in, and they might see a color, they may see a flicker of light or a wing or maybe a full-fledged angel.
I love that you said that, because that's exactly how Michael showed me when I was a kid. But it was energetically. It was that energetic connection. I was like, who are you? Right. And then when I cleared my mind and he's like, you know, and he showed me, it was exactly what you're saying. And then I could see him. But then I could also visually see him out in my mind's eye, outside my body, like how he was. And I was like, ah, oh, that's who you are.
Isn't that cool? I love that. Okay. So just kind of pivoting a little bit, because I'm curious and I want to know. What gave you the idea to start your podcast, The Psychic Story and Supernatural Matters? And in turn, after you answer that, what prompted you to begin this series about and for psychic kids and teens?
Yeah, well, so if you want to hear more about my story as a whole, there's an episode called My Story on a Psychic Story. You can listen to that in more detail. But going back when I had said earlier in this episode, I was just in a really, you know, sad place at one point in my life where I was like, I had everything, the job, the car, the friends, you know, the love connection, all of it. And I was just miserable. And I'm like, okay, why am I so miserable? It was not a life crisis, right? I think we tend to think like midlife crises and all these other things are like not, you know, it's just because we're whatever, we're these human beings. It's an actual spiritual experience that we were going through with an awakening and everything else. And so I was like, okay, but how do I dig out of that? What does that look like for me? And I just kept hearing like, be in service, be in service. And then the idea of the podcast came about and I was literally given the name, I'm a psychic story. And I was literally given the, here's you, you need to interview practitioners. And by other people telling their stories, it's going to be healing. Other people can relate. You're helping to build a connection and a community with people for free. I did not know about the pandemic coming up, obviously. I knew something big was happening, but they were just, it was a sense of urgency that I needed to do it. And so that's honestly how it got started and kicked off. It was a lot of work. And you know, I was like, really? Seriously? You want me to do this? It's a lot of work. They're like, yes, it's important. And, you know, so that was a psychic story. Now, Supernatural Matters, which I love that podcast. I really want to get back to it. In fact, the angels last night were like, you need to start recording more episodes. And I was like, yeah, in what spare time? I'm going to get back to it. But that was more about just telling stories in a way that uses your creative imagination and allows you to like think about, did this really happen? Like what's real, what's not real, right? Because I think a lot of, it's why it's called Supernatural Matters. We call it supernatural because it's the natural not yet explained. There are obviously a lot of logical explanations for things that happen out there, whether it's hauntings or whether it is or is not, you know, alien abductions, that sort of thing. But at the end of the day, it's like, okay, well, what do these mean? And just to get people thinking about the paranormal and the supernatural in a way that is just, you know, again, using their creative imagination, but also their logic and trying to tap into that. So there's that. But then about a few months ago, actually, see, it was after you and I did your interview, which was about psychic development for kids. I just felt this calling about you need to do more to talk about this topic. It can't just be one episode. It's got to be a bigger thing. And I personally don't work with children, like meaning that I don't have classes, courses. I don't do sessions with them. If parents have questions and they book sessions with me, I absolutely will help them to some extent, but just not something that I do right now, just given everything else I have on my plate. So they were like, you know, just create something for free so that this series right now, or the season, I should say, is primarily the foundation for adults to better understand what's going on in your kids' lives, whether, again, you're an adult and a parent and a teacher or what have you. We wanted to create that foundational element. And then moving forward, it's going to be more for the children themselves as they're getting into that adolescence and that adult stage. So that's where I feel led. I don't have all the answers other than I've been given breadcrumbs, like this is what you need to do and you need to start to do it. So that's why. And really, at the end of the day, it's to be in service. That's the best way I can describe it. I know a lot of practitioners, this is their sole means of making money, is to do sessions and classes and courses. And I think that those are all very important. But I want to be able to offer free content to people to connect in a way, not just with me, but with the other people that are on here, the guests and each other.
And, you know, it's so funny because I told you this before with my episode that we did. I wasn't ever going to contact you, but my Archangel Michael woke me up one morning and was like, you have to connect with Nicole. And I put it off all day and he was constantly just on my tail about it. And so I did. And you got right back with me. And then, of course, it was so funny because he had also told me that we would have a podcast. And at the time I was like, okay, whatever.
You didn't even tell me that. I know, but it was so funny. So I know she just said this, but like, so C reached out to me and I know you guys laugh at me all the time, but like, I'm so behind on my emails. And so there are certain ones that when I see it, I'm like, I got to respond to this right away because I get this message. And so I was like, yep, you're going to be on. He had been saying, you need to do one on psychic development for kids or all of that, psychic kids. And so when you emailed me, that was like, divine timing, perfect. Let's get you on. I moved you to the top of the list. We got you on. And then after that, it was, you need to do more. And I thought, I was like, here I am going to reach out to C back again and say, by the way, you're doing a podcast with me. And this is what you need to do. And I thought she was going to say, girl, I have all this other stuff going on. But then you said no, because he told you that, right? But you didn't tell me. You should have told me that in the episode.
Right? You know, it's so funny because I go back and I don't always remember, but I had written it down. This was back in June or July that I had written down and had my little business plan. And Archangel Michael told me what to put and what dates we're going to be doing things. And he had said we would have a podcast. And I was just like, okay, if it happens, we'll make it happen. And sure enough, he reached out and that was it. So
isn't that funny? I think that's the other thing with a calling, right? I know this isn't about purpose, but to me, when you feel something so much that's like within you and you feel like you have to do it, there's a sense of urgency. You know that they're guiding us all together, matchmaking us together to make it all work in a way that's of ease, that's of grace, that is just, it's a puzzle piece that it all works out. And that's why it's like they were communicating with you. Communicating with me, and I'm sure other people too who've probably gotten the idea. And it's all about action. And if you take whoever, they plant many seeds with among many of us, and they're just hoping, fingers crossed, that more than one person is going to take that seed and plant it and have it grow and take care of it and nurture it. And some of us do, some of us don't. And so the fact that we connected, we're like, okay, well, if Spirit's leading me to do this, we're going to do it. We're going to make it work, right? So we made it work.
Yeah, we did. Of all the people in all the world. So, well, you know, you do have a lot going on, Nicole, but is there anything else you'd like to share that you have maybe upcoming?
Yeah, I do. So I am writing a book. I'm writing a book with a gentleman. His name is Dr. Scott Guerin. And similarly to what happened with you and me, regarding the podcast for kids, I actually got the idea for the podcast for kids. It was downloaded to me and I was like, okay, so let's add that. And then over time, I was primarily out of the sessions that I was having with people where people would have more questions like, oh, that was great. Is there a book you recommend, or is there somewhere I can go to get more information? And so what I really wanted to do was write a blog on my, you know, website that says, here's what we talked about, like just the big pieces, right? The foundational elements of here are your archangels, here are your ascended masters, whatever, so that they could go back and reference it. And I kept hearing, no, it's got to be a book. It's got to be a book. So I had a coming to Jesus talk with my guides and angels. And I was like, this is fantastic. I'm glad you want me to write a book, but where in the world am I going to find the time? And if you really want me to do this, I need you to bring someone and or a team that's going to help me do this. And, you know, I need you to find the resources because it costs money. Unless somebody says, hey, I have this pot of money and I'm going to put it behind you. Like I'm funding all of this out of my own pocket. So at the end of the day, I said, if you want this to happen, make it happen. And a few days later, Scott emailed me and said, I felt led to reach out to you. I'm writing a book. It needs a female voice. I'm writing about religion and the science of angels and what that looks like. But I need somebody to help me, like actually who's talking to angels and everything. What does that look like? How do people connect? And I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, universe. So yeah, we have a book coming out. It's going to be available next year in 2023. There's a date that, you know, still TBD on that. But what we're asking people to do is share their angel stories at this moment in time. So if you have an angel story or you have somebody else's angel story and you want to share it, please email me, contact@apsychicstory.com, or go on the website. There's a form you can fill out. And we would love to hear from you to either put you in the book and or have you as a guest on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm so excited. I really cannot wait for it to come out.
And you got a little bit of a preview.
I did. I got to read a little bit. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm really thrilled that that's in the works. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners and about anything that we've talked about, touch on, go back to?
Yeah, I'd just like to go back to say that at the end of the day, when you are, you know, especially as an adult and you have psychic kids in your life and you're looking at, okay, how do I help them? One, you are going through this because it's obviously part of your spiritual journey and growth as a being. And what a lovely, beautiful way to be able to connect with that child in your life and to have that bonding experience. We all need each person to share their own unique gifts with the world. And this is just another piece of that, but to be able to do it together in such a way that allows us to bond, whether it's sisters or brothers or, you know, adults and parents with their children, whether it's a teacher and you're just giving them visual exercises to be able to do in any capacity, a doctor, you know, if you are a talk therapist and you're starting to incorporate some of these things into your day-to-day practice, I think that that is just all ways for us to connect with each other. And to me, the angels are the bridge to God's source. I know I keep saying that, but it's like I can connect and talk to God all day long, but there's something to be said with the angelic realm that just helps it to just crystallize it a little bit more, I feel like. And so that's why we wanted to do this episode, is to talk about angels, letting you know that they are absolutely on your spirit team. And hopefully this has helped you in some way.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Nicole.
Thank you for interviewing me, See.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. And you know where to reach us. And we hope to hear from you. Don't forget, share your angel story if you can.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story Kids Edition. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcast so you never miss an episode. For more information, go to apsychicstory.com or follow Psychic Kids on Instagram.